Father, speak to us this morning as we come and study your word. Please draw us closer to you, make us more dependent on you, and change us into your likeness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you looked at the term card before you came to the service this morning, you'll have noticed that this topic is prayer. And if you did this, I wonder what your reaction might have been. If you're anything like me, perhaps you feel a twinge of guilt when prayer is mentioned. Praying isn't easy, is it? It doesn't come naturally to us as a broken and rebellious people. So no matter how hard we work at it, we do struggle. And in truth, we will always feel that we don't pray enough. Is that true for you? It certainly is for me. So I hope this morning, as we look at just what the Bible has to say about praying, we can find some encouragement and some motivation to pray more fervently, freely, and enthusiastically. I want to do this by asking three questions. What is the nature of the God that we pray to? What is the nature of our relationship to that God? And what is the nature of our response as we pray to God? So let's start by considering, when we pray, what do we think God is like? What is his nature? It's an important question, isn't it? How we pray to God depends critically on what sort of person we believe our God to be. If we think of God as a stern, judgmental character, we'll approach prayer a bit like we might have approached the headmaster's office, or maybe the boss's office when we're summoned to see them, pretty reluctantly and with some trepidation. Or if we think of God as distant and too busy much to care about us, we'll probably pray distantly and infrequently, not expecting very much to happen. And if that's the case for us, it is vital to remind ourselves of one of the most amazing things that Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, which is where our reading came from this morning. And that is that God is our Father, and we can pray to him as our Father. Looking back to the Old Testament, God reveals himself as the Lord Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is majestic and all-powerful, the creator and sustainer of all, someone to be approached with awe and fear. Yes, he is a loving and infinitely patient and forgiving God, but really only special people, specially prepared with special protocols, sacrifices, and words, could come into his presence. Think, for example, of Moses. When he approached God on Mount Sinai, all of the people of Israel had to keep back from the mountain. And when Moses returned, he had to have his face veiled to shield them from the glory of God that remained with him. So when Jesus came, it was a remarkable change. He revealed a much more intimate way to relate to God. In this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus refers to God time and again, in fact, 15 times altogether, as your Father. And most of these references come as Jesus is talking, teaching us how to talk to God in prayer. Perhaps it's easy to take this for granted. We all know the Lord's Prayer, which of course starts with the words, our Father. So the idea of God as our Father seems obvious. But just step back a bit and consider just how amazing this is. The Lord of the universe wants us to treat him as our Father. He wants us to come to him, to talk to him as a child talks to their father. And one immediate consequence of this is that, as one commentator puts it, it turns our religion into relationship. Our Christian faith isn't a matter of believing some set things and going through some rituals. It's about a relationship with God as our Father. Let's probe that a little bit further, because some of our experiences of a father may not be quite as positive as we might like. Just what sort of a father is our God? Well, the reading from Matthew that we had just now gives us a clue. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. Our Father is a Father who is generous beyond measure, willing and able to give us all that we need as we ask him. To emphasize this, the Bible often uses the wonderful word kindness to describe the way God deals with us as his children. For example, in Acts, Paul tells the people of Lystra that he, that is God, has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. The kindness of God in providing for us. And Paul also tells the Ephesians that God has shown us the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus, the ultimate demonstration of kindness that Jesus came to save us. The word is also used a number of times in the Old Testament to describe God. For example, Jeremiah says in chapter 9, "Let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight." And I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I understand that the word translated as kindness in Hebrew is actually vastly more than just a mild sense of goodwill. It denotes the most intimate degree of loyalty, love, and faithfulness that can exist either between two people or between an individual and God. It's a very full-on word denoting complete and unwavering love, concern and commitment towards the recipient. What an amazing, humbling and liberating way to describe our God, the God that we pray to. He's infinitely kind to us, loyal and loving and faithful beyond all that we deserve. Any hesitation to pray openly and honestly to him comes only from us. On his side, God is always there, ready to listen and respond to us. And as Jeremiah goes on to say, he rejoices in doing us good. So what is the nature of the God to whom we pray? He is our infinitely kind Father, who is ever ready to listen and answer us when we call him. Like the very best of fathers, he's always there to hear our prayer, and he delights in giving us all that makes for a full and fulfilled life with him, now and for eternity. And in recognizing this, we've gone quite a long way to answering my second question. What is the nature of our relationship with this God? Well, of course, if God is our Father, then we are his children. Again, this may be something that you've heard so many times that perhaps it's become a bit commonplace. But let's stand back again and probe this a bit deeper, find just what it does mean. We've noticed that Jesus' description of God as Father is amazing and world-changing. But have you also noticed how astonishing the word "our" is as Jesus teaches the disciples the Lord's Prayer? In effect, Jesus is putting his arms around the disciples and around us and saying, "This is how you should pray, our Father." In other words, Jesus is saying, "Pray with me, share my relationship with God, for you are loved just as I am loved." As we pray these words, the point is not just that as Christians we're all part of a family, but that Jesus is affirming us as much as a member of God's family as he is. There are no second-class family members. All are loved by God with the same love that he has for Jesus. The love that Leon was mentioning this morning, first thing, the eternal and infinite love of the Trinity. And Jesus wants this love to characterize us as his people and to radiate this love to others. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus prayed to God for his children, that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So as God's children, we're not, as it were, grafted on as an afterthought or adopted but considered somewhat less than full family members. we become fully loved members of God's family. As we pray to our Father, Jesus himself is alongside us. His brotherly presence is with us to affirm us and support us. Incredible, isn't it? If that doesn't inspire our prayers, I don't know what would. But having said that, it can still be very difficult to comprehend what being adopted as God's children actually means, can't it? And that brings me to the third and final question. What is the nature of our response to God as we pray? Well, the good news that the Bible tells us is that God doesn't leave us to sort out how to pray by ourselves. He provides us with vital help in the form of the Holy Spirit. As Paul explains to the Galatians, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. The work of the Spirit is to make the loving bond between us and God real and active by inspiring us to respond to God and to pray to him as our Father. And Paul calls this Spirit the Spirit of Jesus because it's the same Spirit that provides the loving bond between the Father and the Son in the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That same Spirit is given to us to bind us to God too. And as his children, God gives us his Spirit to open our stubborn hearts to him and to experience the assurance of his love for us and his delight in us. And as the Spirit does this work in us, it frees us to talk to God as our Father in an unrestrained and confident prayer. Do we doubt this? Do we question that the Spirit is within us as we perhaps struggle to pray? Well, just think what we're doing when we pray. We are coming to the creator and sustainer of the universe, someone so infinitely beyond our comprehension that we can only come in awe and fear and wonder. And yet, we talk to him openly and freely, asking for things as if he really does care for us as his son or daughter. And we do so only because the Holy Spirit prompts us to do so. It's the Holy Spirit working in us that draws us to God and takes our ill-conceived words and thoughts and brings them into God's presence, allowing him to respond to us deeply as his loved sons and daughters and to give us all that we need for our good. Never doubt the power of the Holy Spirit working in us as we pray. However distant God may feel to us in the moment, or however perfunctory our praying may be, we pray because we have some sense that God hears us. That is the work of the Spirit. The Spirit connects us to the Father, assuring us that he is our Father and that he delights to hear from us. Always remember that any problem of communication is not on his side. So do we find prayer difficult? Do we struggle to pray with joy and freedom? Well, I guess if we're honest, we all do, don't we? At least some of the time. But there's much to encourage and inspire us in what the Bible teaches about the nature of our prayers. Above all, we are praying to a God who wants us to approach him as Father, a Father who is infinitely kindly disposed towards us and who delights in giving us good things. And we're coming with the brotherly presence of Jesus, who is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us, as Paul says in Romans. We come to God in prayer in full and complete members of his family, accepted and loved in the same way that Jesus is loved and part of the bond of the Trinity. We can come with complete confidence and assurance that we will be treated as true sons and daughters. And we're coming through the action of God, the Holy Spirit, binding us to God and prompting us to bring to him all that matters to us and troubles us and inspires us. As we pray, let the Holy Spirit continue to prompt us. What does this mean in practice? Well, surely it means that we need have no inhibitions about praying to our Father. No matter whether we feel good or bad, no matter what we've done, no matter whether we are down or up, no matter whether God feels near or distant, no matter whether we feel eloquent or tongue-tied. Our God is always listening and delighting to hear from us because of the kindness of God the Father, the brotherly love of Jesus, his Son, and the actions of the Holy Spirit binding us together with him and taking our words straight to the throne of God so that he can delight in doing us good. Alleluia. What a God we pray to. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord and Father, thank you for the wonderful fact that we can talk to you in prayer. Please teach us to pray. Continue to remind us, Lord, that you are our infinitely kind Father who longs to hear from us. Remind us, too, that we come to you as your children, with Jesus alongside us as our true brother. And thank you that the Holy Spirit does encourage and support us as we pray, taking our hesitant and faltering words and bringing them to your throne. Father God, in this coming week, please encourage us to talk to you more freely. Please give us confidence that you're always there, more ready than we can imagine to hear us, and give us all that we need to live fully as your children. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.